Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio and also broadcasting on and in association with Progzilla Radio. You're currently listening to Fade to Black by Metallica. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
That was the wonderful Fade to Black by Metallica. Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio, and also broadcasting on and in association with Progzilla Radio. Top of the Progs is back, and I've got some cool, weird, fun songs, I think, for this week's show. Fade to Black is one of Metallica's best tracks. They play it nearly every show with good reason. It's one of their kind of classic tracks. I think it was one of the first where they kind of, I think like all the tracks on Ride the Lightning, that was the album where they kind of broke out of the box, so to speak, with their composition and with the writing and with everything they were doing. Like, they were no longer just first chorus, first chorus, first chorus, and they were kind of experimenting with structure. It's amazing. Like, it's almost two different bands between Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning. Like, Kill 'Em All, it's really loose. There's a lot of the punk elements in there that were still finding the feet, but by Ride the Lightning, they're 100% fully realised. They've got being in a band down to a T. Everything is perfect on that album, in my opinion. The bass could be a little bit louder, but apart from that, everything is, you know, the tones are spot on. You know, the balance between Kirk's lead work and Hetfield's rhythm work is brilliant. Lars has fully embraced and learned double pedal. He is now a master at double pedal. Apparently, like, when he did Kill 'Em All, he'd only had double pedal for like a few weeks when he did that recording, or he wasn't very good at double pedal. But in preparation for Ride the Lightning, after that album was done, he would practice double pedal for 6 hours a day to get to the point where he was, and that's just absolutely incredible. Next up, we've got one of my kind of favourite early electronica tracks. I found out some interesting stuff about this when Midyear was the guest on Martin Ware's Electronically Yours podcast. The band is Visage, the song is Fade to Grey, and it's Steve Strange on lead vocals. And there was a really funny bit where Martin Ware asks Midge, who like produced it and wrote the lyrics and the vocal melody, says, what did you know, how was it working with Steve Strange? And basically, Midge was like, yeah, well, Steve couldn't really sing. The only way he could actually hit the notes was if I recorded a guide vocal and Steve had that loud in his headphones. That was the only way he could record the vocal, which was quite funny. But this is a brilliant song. This is Fade to Grey by Visage.
From a backdrop.
It's a really good song, that. Apparently it got practiced a lot by the kind of early lineup of Ultravox. It was, so they were kind of, I can't remember the exact story, but like at Gary Numan soundchecks, you know, when Ultravox was supporting Numan, they would try and play that tune, and then Midge heard it, and he was like, oh, let's put some lyrics and vocal melodies, and it kind of became a thing after that. And but no, I really enjoy it. It's a good song. Next up, we've got a little bit of Peter Gabriel with a song that, funnily enough, I knew about, but I never actually listened to until I was there and then at the Peter Gabriel show this year in June. Yeah, it seems like ages ago. In June in Manchester Arena, it seems like a lifetime ago. But nonetheless, it was a bit of a strange... A lot of people commenting saying it was a strange choice for an opener, but in the context of the rest of the show, he was talking about the birth of like the human race and the universe. It was just the perfect song, and I feel like he breathed new life into it by giving it a new version. And it is the perfect opener for a concert after hearing it. And the original album version, which I'm going to play for you now, is absolutely beautiful. It's... become one of my favourite Peter Gabriel songs. You can hear a lot, I think Gabriel was, towards this point, he was a lot more kind of influenced by Randy Newman, and you could definitely hear that in the chords he's chosen and things like that. But this is Washing of the Water by Peter Gabriel.
River, river, carry me on. Living river, carry me on. River, river, carry me on. Place where I come from, so deep, so wide. Will you take me on your back for a ride? If I should fall, would you swallow? Something
His vocal on that is really good. Like, his use of falsetto is really kind of clever throughout that track. Like, it's just great. It's, you know, it's he's this kind of delivery. To get that good delivery in the transitions between his regular voice and his falsetto is really difficult, and he just does it masterfully. Like, no problems at all. Just, there you go. It was amazing hearing him and watching him do that song live. He pulled out this tiny little like pocket piano that was really small, that just really thin, that just kind of sat on his lap, and he played it sat around the campfire with Tony Levin on bass, and it was just a magical moment that I will treasure for the rest of my life. Next up we have Yes in Everything But Name. That's right, we are talking about everyone's favourite Yes soundalikes, even though they claimed they weren't into Yes. Starcastle, yeah. It's weird, the Yes thing is, especially on this song. This song is perhaps more Yes than the opening track. Like, I don't know. They said they weren't influenced by Yes, but how could you not? How could you? I think they lie about that. But nonetheless, the music is still great. It does just sound like it's B-sides from the Close to the Edge sessions, though. Maybe with not as good keyboards. But nonetheless, this is a really good song, despite me just slagging it off for a few minutes before I play it. It's one of the highlights of the album. The guitarist, I can't remember what his name is, Steve Hagler from Starcastle, he said that this was his favourite when they recorded it, like to listen back to it. And he's right, like, it is a magical moment when you're in a band and you've gigged and you've played songs like 20 or 30 times. When you go into the studio and record them for the first time and you actually hear them back, like, out of speakers, and you hear all the parts and you're not having to play it and it's not really loud, it is quite a magical moment. And he talks about that in one of his YouTube videos, which is quite exciting. But anyway, this is Sunfield by Starcastle. Seems I push a new green, the sun calling from our shelter. We will let the naked eye see the sun. We all are the wonder of a multicolored dream. We cannot fit together all the pieces it would seem. Run to the earth, move to the sea, fly with the wind and fly with the centuries. For I am you. Crystal ship. The end is definitely just Siberian Catra, isn't it, with the dun 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 dun. It's still a great piece of music, though. The bass tone is exactly like Chris Squire's as well. The drumming is definitely not Bruford, like it's more kind of the Alan White kind of thing going on, but it's still a good song. It's still got its own merit. It's still good music that's well performed and well executed. And who said once on the Progzilla Zoom chat that we have once a week when I joined one of those once, and we were basically saying that it's a compliment to be compared to Yes, because it means you are technically as good as Yes. So, you know, I can see both ways of that. But anyway, moving on now to one of Pete Townshend's solo songs. Pete Townshend's solo stuff is a mixed bag. I feel like Pete Townshend is one of the greatest songwriters of all time, but he needs other musicians to kind of perform his works, if that makes sense. Like, he's a talented multi-instrumentalist. He can play guitar, bass, drums, keyboards. And he can sing as well, but he's not necessarily, his virtuosities don't lie in those areas. They lie in his writing, if that kind of makes sense. So, like, if you listen to the demos for, like, the Lifehouse tracks, for, like, something like the demo for Won't Get Fooled Again, it's really kind of laid back. He's playing all the instruments on it, and it needed the others to give it that magic, and some of his solo stuff just lacks that, unfortunately. But this is a really good one that I found from his 1978 album. I feel like the thing that Townshend is probably has pioneered, and, like, his biggest contribution to music is the concept of looping songs, and by that I mean songs that have a loop going out all the way through them. So, for example, Barbara O'Reilly, of course, has that loop going all the way through the song. So does Won't Get Fooled Again, and so does some other tracks, like Who Are You has a loop going all the way through. You Better You Bet has a synthesized loop going all the way through, that no matter what changes in the song, that loop is always happening in some form, and he does that really well. And but this kind of uses that same technique, but it's a good song. It's fun, it's upbeat, and I like it. This is And I Moved by Pete Townshend. That's a good, just fun kind of pop song, isn't it? And what's interesting about that is the way you process the piano, like the delay, kind of, it makes it kind of its own instrument, if that makes sense, rather than just being like part, you know, rather than just playing single notes. It creates a groove and a melody, and that kind of 16th note thing just fits so kind of well behind it. It's a really good moment. So I'm currently knee deep in research for my next like video essay type video, and it's going to be about the band UK, formed in 1977, split in 1980, reunited on and off, two different lineups, two different albums, a live album. But I was listening to a live bootleg of the first lineup of the band. So we've got Bill Bruford on drums, John Wetton on bass and vocals, Eddie Jobson on keyboards, Alan Holdsworth on guitar. And in the live shows, they played a lot of material for the second album. Like, they only played half the first album after it had come out, and they also played what would become the second album, but also two songs which would end up on Bruford's One of a Kind album, and it was really interesting listening to those. But anyway, Bruford took two of the songs and he put them on his next album, and the other guys kept the other ones for Danger Money. The ones Bruford took were The Sahara of Snow and Forever Until Sunday, and when he recorded Forever Until Sunday for his One of a Kind album, which also has Alan Holdsworth on, he invited Eddie Jobson back into the studio to contribute electric violin to it, and it is a really beautiful track. It's a bit slow, it's a bit sad, but it's just a great instrumental with some wonderful virtuosic violin playing on it. This is Forever Until Sunday by Bruford. Thank you. I think it was kind of better that it ended up on the Bruford album rather than on the second UK album if they'd have carried on with Bill and Alan, but it's still a great piece, and I really enjoy it. The UK version is really interesting because Alan does like most of the lead work of what the keyboard is doing. He plays out most of those chords at the beginning, and then Eddie does the electric violin. I think I slightly prefer that with Holdsworth carrying the... holding the fort down, as it were, with the chords, but it's still a great track. Now, of course, you can't mention UK without playing UK's signature track or tracks, which I am going to do here. UK are probably most famous for their In the Dead of Night suite, which consists of the song In the Dead of Night, By the Light of Day, and then Presto Vivis and Reprise. This kind of suite of music perfectly represents the band. It represents kind of a new era of prog that kind of infused the jazz elements, kept things short and sweet. Like, it's a three-song suite that only comes in at like 13 minutes, which is... it is nothing compared to the likes of Supper's Ready and Close to the Edge, but it fits, you know, it's kind of edgier, punchier, dirtier, and more to the point than kind of what we'd had before. But anyway, this is the In the Dead of Night suite by UK. We'll be right back. the brilliance, brilliant, brilliant and epic In the Dead of Night suite. It's just one of the best moments in prog, in my opinion. It's so good. Like I say, it's got a kind of hardened and aggressive edge to it that the kind of earlier 70s stuff didn't. It's kind of more refined, I guess, because every single player at this point is so well refined as well. Bruford has had the experience of Yes and King Crimson. Wetton's had the experience of Family and King Crimson and all the stuff they did after that. Bruford's been with Genesis on the Trick of the Tail tour, which it gets mentioned a lot. It's really famous for that, which is weird considering it was just one tour. But anyhow, it's one of the great, great moments in prog, and I'm really excited to tell the story of the band when the video eventually comes out, because I feel like they're a really interesting group, and it's one of those things that just happened at the wrong time. If that album had have come out in... let's say that King Crimson does Red, and then immediately after that, UK get together and make the UK album, and it's exactly the same as it sounds. You know, the songs are exactly the same. It would be regarded as one of the best prog albums of all time, but it just happened to come out way too late. It just came out when prog wasn't as popular, when punk and disco were a thing. I mean, when it came out, for context, Saturday Night Fever was the biggest charting record at that time. But I guess, and then there were Three was a few places behind it. But anyway, I'm rambling on now. We're unfortunately nearing the end of this week's show. I'd like to close now with a bit of classic Yes, with a song from the band album Tomato. This is Onward by Yes. Thank you all for listening. Hope you have a good week. Goodbye.
Contained in everything I do, there's a love I